The Siege of Vienna, 1529. The Turkish army arrives at the gates of Vienna on September the 26th, 1529. Now, the country that was inside of the walls, as far as Schwecht and Tatmandorf, were covered with tents, the number of which was calculated at 30,000. Nor could the sharpest vision from St. Stephen's Tower overlook the limit of the circle so occupied. The flower of the Turkish force, the Janissaries, took possession of the ruins of the suburbs, which afforded them an excellent cover from the fire from the besieged. They also cut loopholes in the walls, yet standing, from which they directed fire of small ordnance and musketry on the walls of the city. The tent of Suleiman rose in superior splendor over all others at Shimmering, on that spot, and to the extent now occupied by the building called the Nongbad. Hangings of the richest tissue separated its numerous compartments from each other. Costly carpets and cushions and divans studded with jewels formed the furniture. Its numerous pinnacles were terminated by knobs of massive gold. The color of the chief compartment was green striped with gold. 500 archers of the royal guard kept watch there day and night. Around it rose in great though inferior splendor the tents of the ministers and the favorites. And 12,000 Janissaries, the terror of the enemies, and not infrequently of their own masters. They were encamped in a circle around this central sanctuary. The Pacha of Rumalia, who posted opposite the Steuben Gate and thence down to the Danube, secured the baggage and its attendant train of horses, mules, and camels. The latter, some 20,000 in number, were at pasture in the meadows. The camp of the Vizier Ibrahim extended from the Shimmering over to Wernberg as far as Spinner, thence down to the area as far as Wieden and the high road opposite the Steuben and Krathner gates. The Pasha of Bosnia occupied the line of the Vienne River from St. Ulrich to St. Theobald to Penzing. The Pasha of Rumala communicated with his right of his by a body of the renegades who had joined the Turkish forces. From St. Viet near Dubling, the second line was formed by the Pashas of Scutari and Smenderia, and the camp of Pasha Nestors with many Christian prisoners was formed at Sporkenvuel. The corps of Pasha of Belgrade extended itself from the Schönbrunn to beyond Luxembourg, secured the rear of the besieging force. The guard of the royal tent was entrusted to the Pasha of Anatolia. The meadows and islands of the Lobau, as far as Nusseldorf, were occupied by the crews of the Turkish flotilla, which had arrived on September the 26th. Their job was to watch the banks and prevent the passage of aid to Vienna. These mariners were well trained and efficient. They were called Nasser, or Nasidists, or Martolos, which is a Turkish corruption of the German word Matros. The number of their vessels amounted to around 400. Amid the ruins of the suburbs, the Janissaries and the sappers dug trenches. From these trenches, they fired their arrows and musketry with such accuracy, no one was safe showing himself on the walls. The archers' aim was so accurate that they often sent their missiles through embrasures and loopholes of the defenses. It happened, however, fortunately for the weak garrison, that the heaviest part of the Turkish artillery had been left behind in Hungary, its further transport having been rendered impossible by heavy rains. For this reason, the besiegers were reduced to limit their operations to mining and to firing arrows, and fired them so heavily and incessant that through the town generally, especially in the Krathner Street area, no one could walk out of their homes safely. The actual line of attack extended from the rampart near the Augustine convent to the tower situated between the Steuben and Rothrum gates where Eck von Reisenbach commanded. In the face of this line of defense, they excavated a labyrinth of deep entrenchments, strengthened with earth and timber, the Kartner Tower being the principal point of assault. A Turkish artillery fire, probably from its inefficiency for breaching purposes, was principally directed against the higher buildings of the city, especially St. Stephen's Tower. But the arrows flew in all directions. Some of the arrows, fired by people of distinction, were costly. They were painted and even had pearls set in them, and many of the Viennese kept these long afterwards as curiosities. The total force of the Ottomans is stated by Peter von Lobach and Meldermann at nearly 300,000 men, of whom, however, only 100,000 were fully armed. The remainder was employed to deal with baggage, or they were ill-equipped or untrained, and rather a burden more than an assistance to the regular force. The Turkish artillery amounted to about 300 pieces, of which not more than 30 were of a respectable caliber. The investment of the city was completed, and the passage of the Danube effectively closed by the Turkish fleet on the 27th of September. Now, soon afterwards, three companies of German and Spanish cavalry sallied from the Burg Gate. In a skirmish that ensued, some 200 Turks and several of their officers were killed. The Spaniards at the Werder Gate also opposed the Turks with success on landings of cargoes of arms, which had arrived from the Danube from Kahlenberg. From this time forth, to prevent unauthorized alarms, all the bells in the city were silenced, and even the striking of the hour was forbidden, the only exception being in favor of the prime bell of St. Stephen's, which was allowed to strike the quarters. On the 29th, the St. Michael's Day, which was the date that Suleiman had declared his purpose of breakfasting in Vienna, the Vizier Ibrahim rode the circuit of the walls with a very large entourage. He wisely laid aside the usual costume of his high office, wearing instead a turban of white and gold, and flowing robes from a colored shawl, and a simpler soldier's attire. He adopted also further precaution of keeping well out of gunshot. This ride was perhaps meant as a substitute for the celebration of the Saint's Day, which the Sultan had announced but failed to observe. Well, the Viennese still had a little sense of humor here and did not fail to remind the Suleiman of his boast. Prisoners were released with a message to him that his breakfast had waited for him until the meat was cold, and he must feign to content himself with such poor entertainments as they could send him from the guns of the walls. To this, however, about midday they had a vigorous sally, conducted by the brave Eck von Reinschot from the Kothner Gate, through which also the Spaniard, Luis de Avalos, led a company of his people, and they killed many of the Turks, who had been attracted by the grapes of the neighboring vineyards. The Spaniards only retired at the last minute when superior numbers arrived. On the same day, for the first time, a spy ventured out of the city, who twice swam the Danube and returned in safety, but on the third venture was not heard from again. Measures were now adopted for taking an exact account of all provisions within Vienna, the duration of the siege being uncertain. The troops were then divided into messes of 4 men. In each mess, a ration was allotted of 8 pounds of bread and 15 measures of wine. It was found necessary to diminish this quantity to some of the foreign Landskrets, who, unaccustomed to the strong Austrian wines, found it sufficient to incapacitate them for duty. 5/8 of their wine and 2 pounds of their bread were then struck off. From St. Michael's Day, it continued to rain. There was heavy frost, which was very unusual for the season. At night, this caused much suffering to the Turks, who were in their lighter tents and were unused to the climate. So we are at the beginning of the siege, and the weather is still terrible, and Suleiman is before the gates. Now, the sources for this: Siege of Vienna, 1529, Bulwark of Christendom by Schimmel, The Great Sieges by Meligari, Enemy at the Gates by Wheatcroft, Sword and Scimitar by Ibrahim, and The History of the Ottoman Empire by Howard. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.